Hello and welcome to the 93rd episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we couldn't dwell in the basement even if we wanted to, because there are no basements where we live. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we will be discussing the basement dweller and other related creatures who inhabit the nerdosphere. We will be discussing why stereotypes surrounding the basement dweller exist, and kind of exploring how these creatures can exist. But before we get into tonight's topic, let's kick things off by showing you how non-basement dwellery we are, and sharing with you our weekly geekly roundup. Brian, what have you been up to in the past week?
I gotta say, just before we go any further, I really hope that that Freudian slip of yours makes it into the edit.
What did I say?
We will be discussing the.
That's great.
Oh, Jesus. I had such a busy weekend. I couldn't do everything I wanted to do. It was the first time in a long time that that events in South Florida just congealed like that. So first off was Tate's parking lot swap meet, where you get a table and you show up with like all the junk that you've collected over the years and you don't want anymore, and you try to sell it off, and everyone else shows up with all the junk that they've collected over the years that they want to sell off, and then you just trade and no one has any less junk at the end of the day.
You leave with each other's junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really cool event. That's a really cool event, and I enjoyed that. I resisted the urge. I did not collect any more junk, but there was a lot of nice junk there. After that, I went to what's it called? Art Village, Fat Village, Art Walk, whatever. The Fort Lauderdale monthly artistic event collection showing. What? How do you describe that, Tom? I know you've been.
I guess it's kind of just an art showcase that happens on a monthly basis.
Everybody opens up their garage doors and just shows off their art. You get to like mill about in people's studios, right, and see what they're working on.
Right. Fat Village is a little artist enclave in our city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and they kind of do an open house, I guess, right?
Yeah. Open house. That's a great way to put it, actually. And the reason I went there was because a potential Fort Lauderdale con, well, I don't know if it's potential. I guess it's happening. So a sure thing Fort Lauderdale con, WAP Comic Con, was having an unveiling event that night. And I got to speak to the two guys putting it on, Troy and Joey, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm really looking forward to a hometown con, so to speak. I mean, I can't complain about going to Miami, but still, right in your backyard is a nice thing to have.
Agreed, yeah. It'd be cool to have one right here, you know, one at Fort Lauderdale can call its own.
And finally, rounding out my Saturday, after that, I dropped by the go-karting center and spent some time with some classic arcade and pinball machines at the Florida Ape.
Oh, yes, the Arcade Pinball Expo, or APE. Excellent.
That was fun. You know, as someone who grew up, I guess, 70s, 80s, I don't really experience a lot of nostalgia the way I experience the noise, the chatter of an arcade.
Just the ambient noise, the sound of people talking and all the machines.
All the machines, they do a really good job of playing the early 80s music. Like, I just felt like I was just transported back. It was killer. Very good time. I'm looking forward already to next year. And finally, for last week, I don't know if anybody remembers the Kickstarter that I was so excited about, Drake, the Dragon War Game. But I got my first box of that, and it looks killer. I can't wait to arm wrestle someone into playing that with me.
Awesome. Is that something that's going to require painting and assembly?
It is, and it is going to be a nightmare assembly. These pieces are 50% so intricate and detailed that they're they're on a different level than what I'm used to. Like, there's 10 pieces instead of like 3 for the dragons. And but also they're 50%, like, this is really obviously a Kickstarter. So there's a lot of like mold lines and a lot of flash you got to remove, and you know, you expect a little bit of that, but it's just tedious. It's going to slow me down. So we'll be playing bare metal for a little while.
Sounds like you've got to step up your game in some cases and just put your nose to the grindstone in others.
Put my snout to the grindstone.
Yes, there you go, because it's a dragon game, right?
Very good. What about you, Tom? What did you do last week?
I did not get to attend any of the festivities here in our hometown of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, because I was called away on important business duties to not so nearby Orlando, Florida, and I had a very productive extended weekend, which transitioned into a couple day visit to my favorite place on earth, or among my favorite places on earth, Disney World. I went to the Magic Kingdom, where I binged on Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, trying to beat it as many times as I could to get cards, and also rode all the rides I wanted to ride by using the Fast Pass feature. So I did not stand in line for any rides. I only rode my 3 Fast Pass rides per day and played that game and drank some LeFou's Brew, which is a delicious concoction to be had at Gaston's Pub. I don't need to recommend to anybody Disney World, because everybody knows you should go there. Apart from that, yeah, that's it, man. Disney World was probably the biggest thing I geeked out on this week.
Question, you get cards for finishing the events?
Yes, this game is a game where there's a series of collectible cards that you use to, I think we probably covered this in a previous episode, but I'll briefly recap on it, that you use at these portals all around the park, and you basically, you point them at the screen and combat these Disney villains, and you're trying to beat them and save the Magic Kingdom. And when you first come in the park, every day you're entitled to a pack of cards. And every time you beat the game, you can go back to one of the stations and they issue you a new pack of cards.
I did not know that. I've been beating the game and walking away.
Yeah, you got to grab your new cards, man. That's the whole point. And they will up your difficulty level. And I'm on the harder level, and it's been challenging. You can apparently lose, but I'm so good I never lost. And I'm well on my way to my second completion of hard. When I get up there, I expect I will finish that pretty quickly and claim yet more cards. More. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I think that I'm a Disney geek to a certain extent, and I think the fact that they now have this game you can play, and it's a collectible card game, adds a little geeky icing on the cake. That's it, man. That concludes my update. And I think with my update out of the way, we can get into tonight's gnarly subject, which is the basement dweller. We're going to kind of freeform this one. We've got some ideas. We're going to see where it goes. Basically, Brian, you came up with this topic. You have become somewhat disgusted by the stereotypical basement dwelling nerd who probably gives all of nerdkind a bad name. I know we talk about this a lot, like the stereotypes that develop around our little subculture. But I think we want to look at it, one, from a, you know, criticizing the basement dweller standpoint, and two, kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a puzzling out just how somebody can exist playing World of Warcraft 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not starve to death or be thrown out on the street or have their electricity and internet access turned off, right?
Yeah, I'm really curious how they manage it.
Right, so let's dig into that. I think we should probably qualify by saying that we've done our stints as MMORPG addicts, right? But we were able to balance that with like jobs and personal relationships and other responsibilities, right?
I think that's the problem I have with this subject, is I know that I was like straight up legitimately, probably verifiably addicted to online gaming in the past. And I never like quit my job and like lived in filth. And I mean, I still had a life. Like, I mean, as bad as I was never like, this defines me. This is my life.
Right.
And
right,
I don't understand it.
Kind of gets back to the whole episode we did on labels. You are not a WoW player. That's not, you are the be all end all of your existence. And I will also say that this syndrome extends beyond just online gaming. But I think online gaming is where we have spent the most time obsessively playing. We definitely did our stints with D&D as well, but online gaming is the area with which we're most familiar, so we'll probably pick on that. But yeah, I don't get logistically how somebody can be a hardcore online gaming addict. Never mind the toll it must take on your personal relationships. Let's touch on the relationships first. And you obviously know or have at least heard of some real life examples of people who are super obsessed. Do they have friends, family? What's the story?
Okay, so I guess I can tell a few stories. There's obviously the younger chap who lives in his mom's basement and has no education, has no job, has no ambitions. I think that's like almost a tried and true stereotype by now. But I've seen a lot lately where I don't know what to call them, like someone who's too into it will hook up with someone who's not quite too into it, and they will have a relationship, but it's entirely one-sided. Like, I know, I'm counting on my fingers, I have like at least four quote-unquote friends whose girlfriends just let them play Warcraft as an existence.
So, and is this predominates in your experience, that it's the guy that is the layabout World of Warcraft addict while the woman's out there basically bringing home the bacon and everything?
I will say this, you know, misogyny or misanthropy or misandry.
It's just misandry. It's a new
misandry.
Word. Yeah.
Misogyny or misandry aside, I don't know personally one single woman who is actually into it that much. I know a lot of like gamer girls who are like, ooh, I have to be a gamer girl, so yeah, I really love D&D and I'm totally just like you guys, but they're not. They're not really. They do value responsibility. They do value ambition. They do value, you know, cleanliness. In my experience, I just don't know one girl who is just fucked off and left society for a game.
Yeah, I think men tend to be able to obsess about a single thing and tend to be able to be very single-minded more than women. I think women still don't, even if they become very insulated from the rest of the world, they don't lose sight of a bigger picture, you know what I mean? Of a balance between their obsession and their life in general, to the degree that men do. But that said, I guess my question is, what are they getting out of the relationship? I mean, obviously, besides the physical benefits of being in a relationship, what good is this basically useless person? I mean, are they just great in the sack, or they're funny and they have a good personality? Do their goods outweigh this apparent bad?
I can't really speak from experience, and I think it's probably a much deeper topic than we can handle on a podcast like this. But what I suspect is it's almost like a mothering instinct. I think these like up and coming single mom, or I'm sorry, I think these up and coming single women are going out there and making a name for themselves in the world and just adopting teenagers, like shiftless layabouts as children.
That's kind of pathetic. It's weird because I know we're in an age of sort of evolving gender norms and roles, and we don't really have the hard and fast rules where the guy is the outside the home earning money while the woman is maintaining the household. But even if you were to reverse those roles so, to where the guy is in the household and the woman is out making money outside the house, in these cases, the guy's not doing anything to hold down the fort at home. He's just like basically a consumer. As you said, I guess he's just a big child. But who wants to date a child?
Well, I do wonder if it's a dating instinct or if it's something different.
So it's a dating instinct, I see, kind of merged in with a maternal instinct that might be there. That seems bizarre. That seems odd. Do those two really go hand in hand? I mean, don't most women want to save their maternal energies for actual children?
These days, I don't know. You know, there's this whole, like, we have enough people, stop procreating. There's this whole, like, well, I'll have kids when I'm 40 and established. And there's this whole, like, me-ism that replaced that a lot. And I don't know if it's an instinct or if it's just a habit or what it is. But I'll draw an interesting comparison now, and I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about it. Most of the women in my experience, and again, you know, it's a small test group. I understand your experience may be different, but most of the women who do this tend towards crazy cat ladyism.
Interesting, because I was going to say, for these women who have all of this mothering instinct and know where to put it, just go get a cat. Like, don't bother with some like lazy, like useless guy that's going to just sit around and play games and sponge off you all the time. But maybe it's the same instinct that drives both the crazy cat lady and the crazy deadbeat boyfriend lady.
I think it might be a conglomeration of the two instincts. It's probably a little bit easier to satisfy the nurturing instinct while you're satisfying the loneliness instinct.
Okay, I could accept that.
Maybe they're doubling up, whereas hopefully they're not doubling up with their pets.
Yes, one hopes. But let me ask you this. What instinct in the male in these situations is being satisfied? Because I can't think of the instinct that makes me want to not be able to look myself in the mirror every day.
This is why I try to believe that maybe it's hopelessness. Maybe a couple of people started off as like, well, I was really excited about college, but, you know, things were bad and I couldn't find a job, so things got worse and blah, blah, blah. Maybe the only way they're able to find self-worth is through this conquering hero escapism. Because let's face it, everybody's pretty badass in Warcraft.
Right, it's true. Warcraft lets everybody be a badass fairly easily. It's a very forgiving game, which seems sort of the opposite of what you'd be looking for. If you're looking to conquer, wouldn't you want to challenge, or do you just want to be told by an easy-to-beat game, hey, you're awesome?
I think it is no coincidence that most of these gentlemen do tend towards PvPers.
Oh, so they like to be able to pwn some noobs, so to speak?
They feel better about themselves by making someone else feel bad. Which is, again, you know, a microcosm of a much larger problem that we've had for decades.
Which is the need to feel better by downing other people?
In 100 different ways. People bullying, people being asshole bosses, people blaming the victims. Just, it happens all over. Why not happen in video games?
Right, okay. So these people, they've dropped out of these men in this case, have dropped out of the larger society, deciding that they just can't make their way or they don't want to make their way. And then they found this little entertainment niche where they get to be the big shot.
It appears that way. Maybe we should have had a guest on if we could pry them away from the game for a little while to answer some questions. That's the only thing I can imagine. And again, I'm admitting a limited exposure to it, but I can't fathom. Just like as a bigger dude, I can't imagine anyone like being fatter than me without trying to be fat, because I eat a lot. I eat anything I want, dude, you know, like, but then again, I enjoy exercise. Like, I do enjoy a treadmill. I do enjoy a rowing machine. Those are fun activities to me. So there's maybe a little bit of balance, but I don't understand someone who just, you know, I'm sorry if I'm picking on anybody, but dude, if you weigh 500 pounds, maybe it's you.
But you can't really, okay, you can, but you can't really 100% fault the person for being complacent if they found a degree of happiness. They're with a woman that tolerates their laying around doing nothing really productive and playing games all day and eating all the cheese doodles every day. So what's their motivation to get out there and do anything?
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I think that being comfortable is what most people strive for. And certain people just have different definitions of comfortable. And I think being able to sit around and do anything you want, anytime you want, I'll admit, I'd give that a shot. I am thankful, however, that I would actually want to get up and go socialize with people in person, that I would actually want to not smell my own underarms.
Yeah, I mean, if for some reason a woman wanted to keep me in comfort, my instinct wouldn't be to play World of Warcraft all day. It would be to pursue whatever creative endeavors I've always dreamt of, or academic endeavors and that sort of thing. I can't imagine, not to say that I wouldn't devote a generous amount of time to video games. I would do the equivalent of the Google 20%, but the 20% would be goofing around. But, you know, the other 80% of the time, I would be pursuing a passion, I think. And I like video games. Playing video games is a pastime. I do not consider playing video games or tabletop games or anything else a passion when it comes to being creative. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And speaking of that, at least if you're a starving artist, you're creating. You do have a passion. But starving PvPers, where is your outlet?
That's true. I mean, well, as we said, there is no starving PvPer, because they are not starving metaphorically in the game, and they're certainly, per your stereotypical image that you painted, not starving in the real world either.
I'm sure some of them are, but
perhaps, you know, I'm trying to relate. And so we started off, I thought we were going to go more down the basement dweller who never really, you know, gets out of the nest, path.
Same thing, I think.
Well, I think what we've done is they've gotten out of the nest and just found another nest. You know what I mean? And basically made it a sterile nest where children will never be created, because they are gigantic man children.
Okay, I will go ahead and I will object to this just on principle. It's been sensationalized on a few shows and everything like that. I think Law and Order did an episode with it where it was a couple, much like I'm describing, where the man did absolutely nothing and the woman did just enough to provide for the man, and they were selfish enough to not be safe and still have children, and the children just starve to death in the closet while they play games.
Oh my God.
I remember a case on EverQuest, and this is one of the first times I really felt bad, because generally when a community comes together and you're part of a community that you're fairly proud of, you're like, wow, these guys are cool, and, you know, sure, there's some people, blah, blah, blah. I remember when I was playing EverQuest, one of the big news items was that this guy was playing EverQuest and didn't want to be interrupted, so he lost his cool, hit his little girl, and children are fragile. Like, you can't hit a little girl and not do some damage. Well, he cracked a rib and punctured her lung, and she was bleeding inside, and he was so into the game that she just bled out on his closet floor.
Oh my God.
And he had no idea that he murdered this child, and he just kept playing and kept playing, and And I just felt bad to be a gamer that day.
Well, that's a pretty extreme, I mean, beyond extreme case, is it not?
It's pretty extreme, but I think it's trending upwards, and that really bothers me.
That's a horrifying thought. So let's step away from that horrifying thought for a minute and consider motivation. Now, I'm not a female. I don't understand from a female's perspective what is desirable in a relationship or a mate, apart from what women say they want, you know, which of course is always up for debate.
But, so what you're saying is these are some funny motherfuckers?
Well, what I'm saying is I will try to relate from my perspective as a male. I'm trying to think of a circumstance under which I would tolerate a mate who wanted to just sit around playing video games. I love video games, so coming home and being invited to join in video games every day, among other extracurricular benefits of being in a relationship, obviously, would be kind of cool. But if I'm out there busting my tail to stay PG, doing a job I don't like to bring money into the household, I expect a little bit of effort on the home front. The place doesn't have to be spotless. I don't have high, like super high standards along those lines, but you could cook something once in a while. You could maybe make sure the place is somewhat straightened up. You could hold down the fort at home, or you can blow my mind in other ways such that I can look past all of your failings as a human being. And because we are a family friendly show, I won't get into what those are. You can use your imagination. But even those mind-blowing tricks will only take you so far. After a while, the quality of the relationship is still looked at through a more sober lens. You know what I mean? Once the infatuation is over at the beginning. So I don't know if I could be with a girl that just wanted to play games all the time and didn't have any ambition. Maybe I could, as long as she was cool to be around. I mean, I'm trying to come up with a situation wherein I could tolerate it so that I can give these women you're discussing the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there is that awesome girl out there whose mere presence is enough for me to be happy when she's around, you know?
So, I don't know. I've had two similar experiences where one of my long-term relationships was still holding down a job, still clean for the most part, still we went to movies on Saturday night, but I had no respect for her lack of ambition, no respect for her, well, I have a job and I'm comfortable, so I get to play games constantly now. And it affected things. How can you love someone who you don't respect?
Fair point. I mean, I guess you either, it's an either you, if you can't beat them, join them proposition, or if it's a, or it's a, if you can't beat them, tolerate them situation. I don't know. So it would come down to a respect issue for you. So you will not give these people who tolerate this type of mate the benefit of the doubt necessarily.
Well, I haven't in the past. Maybe the next time around, someone's going to be a little bit more mind-blowing than that one was. But
Well, let's play this easy game. Imagine your dream girl, quote unquote, whatever celebrity, whatever, whoever, you know, just somebody you construct from using your mind, whatever, you name it. That is the person who is waiting for you at home. And apart from the fact that she has no ambition, no desire to get out there and really do anything with her life, she's all around awesome. She's good to you, treats you well, you guys get along, you talk out your problems instead of having big fights. Like, she's as good a mate as possible, but her only ambition is to pursuing her hobbies all the time.
Mutually exclusive.
Oh, okay.
The first thing I think about when I think about that perfect girl is all the things that we're going to create together.
Well, you're going to create a guild on the online game, and then you're going to be the best.
I have like an awesome gaming cafe in mind.
Well, yeah, she'll play there with her guild, but she's not going to help you build the gaming cafe, per se. No, I get it. You want to, like, share passions with her, right?
That's kind of the definition, isn't it?
Yeah, you want to share passions and pastimes, not just pastimes. Because if you continue to pastime, you will eventually run out of it and have accomplished nothing meaningful, except enjoying your pastimes, I guess. Okay, so outside of being able to net a mate who will basically support them or staying at home, how on earth can species related to the classical basement dweller exist? Take the case of the guy, I'll say guy, who can't even attract a mate, even one with such low standards that she would put up with him really being up to nothing productive ever. How does he survive? If he's not going to work, if he just wants to play World of Warcraft 24/7, how does he sustain himself, barring sponging off his parents well into his 30s or 40s?
I'll leave Warcraft alone for a few seconds, although I'm not going to leave Blizzard. How much money do you think folks made off the Blizzard auction house before it went under? Or has it gone under yet? I think they're still doing it, aren't they?
I thought it was going away soon because in the console version of the game, no such thing will exist.
I believe it's going away with the launch of the expansion, which I don't know if they've launched or not.
Me neither. I'm totally out of touch with that game. But some money was made. Are you saying that these guys find ways to make real-world money enough to sustain their existence through gaming?
I think it's possible.
How much can you really make, though? On the order of a few thousand a year, I would think. Is that enough to live on?
Well, aside from 15 cents for ramen and 12 bucks a month for entertainment, how much do they spend?
They need their internet connection, they need a good computer, which is a one-time investment or a finance proposition.
You and I have both seen some people like digging keyboards out of garbages and...
yes.
You can cut corners if you're willing.
Yeah, I guess if you're willing to accept a certain subsistence level of existence in exchange for not having to work, you could swing it.
That might explain the cleanliness. Maybe water is just too damn expensive.
Or there's no point. If you're not going out to a job, what's the point of cleaning yourself? I don't get it, man. I like games as much as the next guy. And if you ask 10-year-old me how awesome it would be to be able to play video games for the rest of my life, I would have been like, yeah, totally. But now I know there's more to life than that. And I don't understand an adult who would be satisfied having absolutely no prospects in the real world.
I really think that there's your answer.
What's that?
Adult.
So they have not achieved adulthood.
If you could not, would you have?
I think so. I wanted nothing more than to grow up and be my own self-sufficient human being. And, of course, I had inaccurate visions of what that would entail. I was going to have an awesome, apartment, and I was going to be, living the cool, beer commercial lifestyle with, a bunch of chicks in bikinis hanging out on me on jet skis when we weren't playing Nintendo together. I had unrealistic expectations as a kid. Those are tempered by experience as you get older. But all in all, yeah, I would have grown up. I don't think I would have wanted to not be able to pay for my own food, for example. 10-year-old me definitely would have liked playing video games. 10-year-old me also would have liked having his own place to live in.
Let me ask you this. Maybe it's a more fair question. Can you see the appeal for others?
I can see the appeal for people who do not share thought processes with me. I can't understand how people don't share certain thought processes with me, at least when it comes to existing in the real world. Let me sum it up like this. What is the point of your existence? I happen to believe my personal philosophy is you define the point of your existence as you exist. It's something you define along the way until you don't exist anymore. Is that what you exist for? Is that your purpose? To be a basement dweller, to be a full-time inhabitant of a fantasy world that you did, that you had no part in creating, that you have no part in shaping, that where the narrative unfolds independent of your opinions on the matter?
trying to play devil's advocate, I can totally see how everything you just said would apply in involvement in a role-playing game.
Now we're talking like a pen and paper RPG?
No, in Warcraft.
How? How does it? You have no effect on anything in that.
Dude, I like personally killed Arthas.
You and 8,000 other people that day killed Arthas. That wasn't an achievement of your own.
Does it matter?
It does. Yes, it does. In an actual like emergent world, in a world with a persistent narrative that is, you know, objective and that all participants have a chance of affecting such that the changes impacts all other participants, I could kind of see getting a little more drawn in. Meaning if you kill the one and only Arthas and he was forever slain and there's like a marker on his grave saying killed by you, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But that even that only goes so far because you aren't building the world. You're affecting the world within the rules laid down by other people. But honestly, given limitless time and money, I would build my own virtual world. I would build it from scratch. I would invite others to build it with me. I would also play in virtual worlds. I like that. But here again, we get to the two sides of the coin, the pastime passion. They can be closely related. They can be playing in an MMORPG or a virtual world and at the same time building one of your own. You know what I mean? But I can't see just having a one-sided coin, man. I can't see just wanting to play the rest of my life and not wanting to work towards things that feel like play.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine the... Is it inconsistency? Like, I want to create something lasting in real world. I can't imagine saying, like, well... I mean, even with the new stuff, even with EQ Legends, is it called? Or
yeah, you have the new world building or whatever that is. Yeah.
Oh, look at this cool castle I built. You know, Minecraft's going to go down eventually.
Right. Right. I like it. I like this is the new evolution of these games where you can actually affect the world. I like that. But that will never be enough to replace actually affecting, for example, the real world in my own small way. You know what I mean? I mean, individually, we're all very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But I feel like my day-to-day life has some consequence to it. Whereas my day-to-day life in the world of Warcraft, what's the world called? Not Norrath. Norrath is EverQuest.
Azeroth?
Yeah. I don't give a hoot about what happens to Azeroth or what happens to my characters that live there.
Because 1,000 other people will do it without you.
Right. It's kind of silly. I don't know. I don't really get it. So, in summation, I don't understand how anybody can tolerate living a zero ambition, zero impact life. I don't understand how anybody would necessarily want a mate like that, although I'm open to the possibility of I'm taking applications from like supermodels who want to test the boundaries with me, okay? So I'm going to leave that door open. I don't want any supermodels listening to think that I won't give them a fair shake just because they want to sit around the house and be beautiful and play video games. I'm willing to try it. And I don't see living a life involved in idle pursuits only. They have their merits, but I also want to define my life as having some meaning. And I don't know if you're of the same mind on these issues. Where are you at with those?
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. I want to leave something.
And let's end with this point. You kind of have a duty to your fellow nerds and geeks to not perpetuate negative stereotypes by actually looking like, and I always pick on this guy even though he's one of my favorite characters, the comic book guy from The Simpsons. Like, he's not a role model. He's meant to be sort of mocked and ridiculed because I like comics as much as the next nerd. I like video games as much as the next geek. But again, to harken back to our previous episode on rejecting labels, those things don't define me.
Maybe, well, wow, what a train of thought. I was going to say maybe we need, alcoholic warning labels, you know, please drink please nerd responsibly. And then yes. That led me to think of like maybe the Oracle of Apollo had it right. Nothing in excess.
There you go. Nothing in excess. You have to consume even your entertainment in moderation. However, with that said, I don't necessarily want our listeners to consume our podcast in moderation. I want them to just go off on it. I want them to listen to all 93 episodes to date. And I want them to subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us favorably and write us a positive review. And as well, check us out on the streaming service known as Stitcher.
And, you know, maybe log off once in a while from listening to us. And be sure to interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+. And if you need a few extra friends, join the Facebook group and meet all kinds of interesting people.
And check out our awesome MMORPG website, which has nothing to do with MMORPGs, nerdstravaganza.com. And drop us a line if you want via email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. Farewell.